So we come to the end of our 90-day Paschal season that began on Ash Wednesday, 40 days of Lent and 50 days of Easter. Where did the time go? 50 is a significant number, not as much as 40, but it's significant. And it's a week of weeks, 7 days times 7 weeks, 49, plus Sunday, the eighth day, makes 50. And so it's kind of the liturgical celebration of that eternal day that knows no sunset. It's seven, which is a perfect number, times seven, a perfect number, plus one. It's the endless day. It's the resurrected life in Christ. It's the being members of the new creation, being members of Christ's body, recreated, refashioned in his image, and joined to him dynamically by our association in the Spirit. We said last week that Ascension and Pentecost are really one event that we have parceled out into two different celebrations, but it's one event, the sending of the Spirit and the ascension of Christ. The ascension is not possible without the sending of the Spirit to turn us into the body of Christ, so that in the same way that the presence of the eternal Son, the second person of the Blessed Trinity that was in Christ's body in Jesus of Nazareth, is now still in Christ's body, but the body is the church. He is the head and we are the members. And so that has changed life forever. That river of life and love that has flowed out from God since creation has now reversed its direction and is heading back to the Father. And Jesus is already there sitting at the right hand of the Father, but he turns around and he beckons to us and invites us to follow him. Where he has gone, we hope to follow. So today, the readings talk a little bit about that change, that significant change that has altered everything. So the first reading is from Genesis, and it's a wonderful little story, the Tower of Babel, about how God confused their language. Why? Because they were doing what we would consider original sin. First of all, it's about division. Let's make a tower bigger than the others. So there's comparison. It's dividing us and them. We're better than them because we have a taller tower. We're better than them because we have a bigger city. And it's part of the human condition. It's part of original sin that we're always comparing and dividing. Second aspect of the original sin, it's about fear. No one will be able to attack us if we build this great tower and this great city. Again, us and them. Fear is about division. And then thirdly, it's about willfulness. We will do this in our way by our own power. It's a way of cutting God out of the picture. Because you see, in the Trinity, there are three persons but one God. There is unity within division, unity within distinction. That distinction doesn't have to cause disunion. In fact, it can bring them together more powerfully. This is something that we humans are always needing to learn, because it doesn't make too much sense in our human minds. How can there be these direct opposites, division or distinction, and unity at the same time? Well, when God began to speak the word and creation happened, when the river of life and love began to flow out from God, it was a river of union. But original sin divides that union and begins to almost celebrate fear and comparison and disunion. We tend to glorify in that. And the world, the flesh, glorifies disunion, glorifies distinctions. We have to be against KU, you know? And we spend a lot of energy and a lot of money creating that disunion and maintaining that. I don't want to push that too far. But in Christ, all are one. And there are numerous readings over this Pentecost weekend. One of the readings tomorrow is from St. Paul's letter to the Corinthians about the building up of the body. And he says there are many gifts, but one Spirit. There are all kinds of distinctions. One person has one gift, another has another gift. We're all different, and yet we form one body in Christ through the unifying power of the Holy Spirit. The very thing that original sin disunified, the Spirit unifies. So the first reading tomorrow is from the Acts of the Apostles that describes the Pentecost event. And it says that, you know, the Spirit descended upon them like tongues of fire over their heads. And then Peter goes out and begins to preach. And there are all kinds of devout Jews from all over the Near East. Medes, Parthians, Ethiopians, you know, there's a list of about 7 or 8 different places they're from and different languages that they speak, and yet they all understand him in their own language. It's the opposite of Babel. Pentecost is the reunion of what sin divided. And that's one of the things we celebrate on this feast, that despite our differences, despite the different languages and colors and races and cultures and all that the earth is filled with, that seems normally so unsurpassable, it's just a fact of life that we have to somehow endure. We live in the hope that the power of the Spirit is more powerful than that division, more powerful than that confusion. That the Spirit of God can bring us together, not only in the kingdom at the end of time, but even now. And St. Paul gives us somewhat of an answer for that. He says, hope is something that we Christians have, and hope is not hope if you can see it. Who hopes for what he sees, Paul says. But hoping for what you don't see, what you can't see, allows you to wait with patient endurance, he says. Well, if there's anything that characterizes Christians in our age or any other age in this world, we are the people who live in hope. We don't feel destroyed by the divisions. We don't feel destroyed by the animosities. No matter what anybody says, we quietly wait with patient endurance, because we believe that God is more powerful than sin, that love is more powerful than death, that God is holding out an eternal future for us on that day that will never end, and we will share in the very glory of God, and we will all be one body. We're already one body, and we celebrate that tonight in the Eucharist. There's one bread, one cup. There's one body of Christ, despite the divisions even in this room. And at least sacramentally, we celebrate that now. But that's a hopeful sign. It's a sacrament of what will be fulfilled completely in the future.